Hello and welcome to episode 13, the luckiest episode of The Big Rewind. I'm here with Jamie. Hello, Jamie.
Hey.
And
why does everyone have to make the obligatory joke when it's 13?
Because that's all we have, Jamie. Our lives are so empty. Especially mine.
It's lucky, it's unlucky.
What was I going to do? I was going to make a joke about the...
I own a black cat. Do you think I go around every single day like...
Violating it? Yes.
That was uncalled for.
But true.
No, it was uncalled for. Anyway.
Fucking cats is uncalled for. Yeah.
You've just lost the entire internet.
And your cat lost its virginity to you.
Moving on.
It's
a boy, by the way.
Yeah. So what?
Yeah, okay. Come on.
Yes, The Big Rewind is the podcast where we talk about new movies and then rewind our asses back to talk about older movies and retro-themed topics. First, we tackle the big news. Alright, I'm going to start by breaking your heart, unless you already know the news.
Probably do. I do.
Yeah? You don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I know what you're going to talk about, but go ahead.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah. I know this.
You know this. Yeah. He's retiring from filmmaking. Has he done it before?
Yeah, he's done it before, and then he came back.
Oh.
That's why a lot of people aren't putting necessarily a lot of stock in this. Because he might...
Do you think he... He couldn't be asking for more money. He runs the fucking place.
I know, but he got... a lot of criticism over his film.
The new one?
I can't remember the name of it. I apologise.
The Wind Rises? That's the new one.
I was going to say it in Japanese. Like, Kaze something. He got into... like, he got a lot of criticism for... because it's about the Second World War.
Yeah.
I won't go into it too much because I want to see it as well. And,
yeah. You know,
but he got criticism for certain positions in that film.
Oh, really?
That people take and certain things that it depicts. I mean, if you really want to find out, then just look it up. But I'm going to try and... if people want to stay neutral on it until they see it, then do that. But he got a lot of criticism from both sides, like how it was depicted, how it wasn't depicted. Oh, wow. You know,
I didn't know that.
So...
I wonder
if that's all played into it.
Maybe.
But again, it's all just speculation.
I knew it was war themed, but I didn't really know.
It
was controversial.
It's from Japan. As far as I know, it's from Japanese perspective. So yeah.
He wants to end on that film? That sounds like a...
No, he might have had something else in the works.
That sounds like a downer.
No, but he might have written something else. So there might be something else coming up that's related to him. Yeah. You know, that's in the works.
Wasn't there meant to be like a Porco Rosso sequel or something like that?
Well, I wouldn't think so.
No, I don't. He hasn't done a sequel.
No, he's never done a sequel.
Although he did do...
Has he ever done a sequel in anything? I don't think so.
Well, I guess he's done film adaptations of series, like Castle of Cagliostro, whatever it's called. The Lupin 3 thing.
Oh, I see what you mean in that sense.
Yeah, but it's not. But it wasn't a sequel.
A sequel of his thing.
No.
No.
Of a feature. No, yeah. I don't think so.
I know what you mean, though. Yeah. I see what, yeah.
That's the closest, then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I'll have to see the film to really judge on that. But
it is sad in a sense, because I love pretty much all of his films.
Pretty much all his films. I've been watching them. Because you gave them to me. I'm halfway through Nausicaa.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Nausicaa. Obviously, that's how they say it in the film, so I presume that's how you say it.
Yeah.
It's one of the darker but better ones.
Yeah. No, it's good so far.
Yeah.
So it's got that environmental...
Yeah. Don't expect Ponyo. You know, Anyway.
I like Ponyo.
Or Spirited Away, the most famous one.
Yeah. I'm still a Spirited Away guy.
Oh, I love it. I love the concepts of being spirited away.
that sounds adorable.
Well, it is. It's kind of, it's dream territory, you know.
Yeah, it's like an Alice in Wonderland
type.
But it's good.
Absolutely.
It's good. I love all his stuff. It's a shame if he is really retiring, especially if it's for like political reasons. That kind of sucks.
It's just speculation. I don't know why he's actually retiring.
Then again, he is how old is he? He's like 72, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not crazy old.
No, I know, but...
It's understandable.
Yeah,
he wants to enjoy his wealth, but...
I hope I'm retired by that age.
Yeah. I don't know, I'd still want to make movies. I should probably start making movies before I say that.
I wasn't going to say.
So anyways, yeah, it's sad news, but I don't know, I still look forward to his last film, even if it is controversial. Mm. There's another... The Star Wars rumors are starting.
Well, it's going to be awful, like I predicted, as soon as it was announced.
Not yet. They'll get to that eventually.
God.
The focus on what's going to be awful is on Ben Affleck right now, so it'll switch to Star Wars eventually.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch is rumored to be in talks to star in the new Star Wars film. Probably as a Darth something. Darth Cumba!
Yeah. I don't see him...
He's gonna end up playing the evil British guy in everything.
I think he might be a master rather than a mole.
What do you mean, like a Jedi? Like a,
no. I mean, like a like Darth Vader, more Darth Vader than a Darth Mole. That's what I mean. Like not so actiony.
Then again, he is young-ish, so he can do action scenes. They might use that. They might have an older guy.
I'm just saying I don't want him to be the young guy of the film.
You know what they could do? That would be awesome. If they, in Star Wars 7, like, I just geeked myself out right now.
Yeah.
If you have this kind of helmeted, kind of Darth Vader style guy.
Yeah.
And then at the end takes off the mask and it's Han Solo. It's Harrison Ford. That'd be fucked up! Can you imagine that shit?
Okay.
It'd be a twist.
So you're asking for a crossover between Star Wars and Star Trek.
What do you mean?
You said Star Trek 7.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No.
Yeah, you did.
I did not.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, people rewind the podcast because I don't think it's said anything like that. No, but it'd be great.
Okay.
Where it's like Han Solo turns out to be the villain in the whole film.
Well, he's supposed to be in it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that'd be good if you don't see him the whole movie and you're like, why is Han Solo? Oh, shit.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think it's going to be...
I think
they start the film... He's in it for a tiny bit.
Or even more dramatic.
And then he's gone.
Luke Skywalker ends up being the villain. Becomes like his dad.
Fucked up. No, stop it. Stop it with these fantasies. Let's move on away from...
JJ Abrams will hear me.
Fucking awful film.
You're so defeatist. Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Has been cast as Rocket Raccoon. In Guardians of the Galaxy.
I want to see that now.
I know.
Just the word Rocket Raccoon.
Like, every time they reveal something about that movie, I'm like, what is this about? There's a tree voiced by Vin Diesel.
Brilliant.
Now there's a Rocket Raccoon voiced by Bradley Cooper.
Brilliant.
Fuck. It's going to be goofy as hell.
It is...
It's sounding more and more like that Christmas movie, that fucking Guardians... The Guardians of... what's it called?
Christmas.
The Guardians of Christmas.
We're making this up.
Rise of the Guardians.
Oh, Rise of the Guardians.
Sounding more and more like that.
Yeah. Wait until, like, Woody Harrelson's involved.
Yeah. He could play, like, a piece of cabbage.
Or he could be a magician again.
Oh, fuck. He will. There's going to be a Now You See Me sequel.
No.
Yes, I told you this.
What the fuck? God, my memory sucks.
Yeah. We forgot about that movie pretty quickly.
I know. They're doing a sequel to that piece of shit.
Yeah. There's a rumor it might actually be called Now You See Me Again.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
In worst films of the year, that's got to be top three.
It was pretty fucking bad. It was fun, though. I laughed.
Not because it was intended.
Not really. It was pretty fucking bad. But I don't know. I think I've seen worse. Texas Chainsaw. Was that this year? Yeah.
All right.
But then that was... I don't know. I don't know which is worse. Ultron in the new Avengers movie.
Yes.
Has been cast, and it is going to be voiced by... Because it's a big robot.
Yeah.
It'll be voiced by James Spader.
Okay.
Some 80s casting there.
Yeah, that's all right.
He was also...
I mean, the film's not... I don't think the film will be too great.
It's sounding like it's going to be really fucking obscure. Like, only fans of The Avengers will get it.
I don't mind when they do that, because then you can introduce stuff to other people.
I guess it makes it more unique.
But at the same time, I think there were too many issues with the first Avengers film to really have any kind of high expectations of the second one.
I mean, they really shouldn't spend too much time introducing people. Or, like, spending time putting the people together, because
they didn't have to have so many people in the first one. That was the thing. They didn't need to necessarily have Hawkeye. You know, you didn't have to have all those different people that, in the end, don't get any kind of backstory to them.
Yeah, not too much.
You know.
At least, what's her name? Black Widow was introduced in Iron Man 2?
Ish.
Although she wasn't very good in that, frankly.
No.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
And Hawkeye should wear more purple.
He should. He should definitely wear more purple.
That's all I'm saying.
You know.
We were talking about Kurt Russell earlier.
Yeah.
Not on the podcast, but literally earlier.
Yeah.
You'll see why soon. But he'll probably star, it's not confirmed, but he'll probably star in Fast and Furious 7.
As an evil guy. He has to be evil.
Isn't Jason Statham the villain already in that?
Yeah, Jason Statham's going to be in it, yeah.
So who might he be? Kurt Russell might be the good guy. The older guy who's helping them.
Maybe like a mini-boss.
Mini-boss. Like the henchman.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell can be a henchman.
Wait, did someone just watch Death Proof and just thought, he should be in this film.
I think they're now putting all these action stars from the 80s in various franchises.
Do you know what's kind of...
Expendables.
What's unusual about this is it's the seventh film, and I'm actually looking forward to
Me
it.
Me too.
Because it's number really six sad. Was fun.
It was alright.
It was fun. Yeah. I wouldn't know. It wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't cinematically...
I'd say five was fun. Six was alright.
It was fun. It had a tank in it. But it had a tank and no physics.
I know, but it got a bit boring. It was a bit long for me.
Yeah.
It was like 2.5 hours of fucking cars.
Yeah, all right.
It's too much.
But they did that.
And it's so easy to cut out from this movie. Like, half an hour you can cut it.
You can cut so much.
Just like that.
But it has the longest airstrip in the world.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Runway, sorry.
That ending was fun.
Yeah.
That was good.
It's like, when will this runway fucking end? And then
Vin Diesel coming out of the flames.
But it's so convenient that when
he wasn't next to the flames to begin with, just comes out of the flames.
It's just when it's so convenient that it all kind of concludes just before the runway ends.
Yeah.
You know, there's like you had this whole scene, it's like the longest runway ever. And then it just finishes.
Yeah.
And it's so silly. But I like that because the whole film didn't take itself seriously.
No.
I thought that was okay, you know?
It was okay. I didn't mind it too much.
Unlike the film we're about to review.
Ah, yes. We'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
First, some Transformers 4 news, which is not far away from the film we're reviewing. But
it makes you so depressed here.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Dinobots are going to be in it.
Oh my goodness, I actually remember those.
I know.
Okay.
They're actually fucking gonna appear in Transformers 4.
I used to own, I really wish I never got rid of them, but I used to own the actual toys for the Dinobots.
No,
they were terrible as toys. They were terrible as animations. And
did they turn into?
Oh, just general things like cars and stuff.
Really?
That sucks. Yeah, I'll have to check out exactly what they're gonna do with these ones.
Would the dinosaur turn into a car?
I don't know, so it can go somewhere. It's just like
that really is, that whole show was fucking toys, wasn't it? It's just like, what do kids like? Dinosaurs, cars?
Dinobots. Not exactly, but you're right in some senses. But, I mean, I used to love them. I really did. I really used to love the Transformer toys. You know? Because the thing was, it was a toy and a puzzle because you got it in usually kind of figurine form and you had to figure out what the fuck it became.
I know I had one. Fuck knows where it is. I don't think I played with it too much because I was just like, oh, this is confusing. Just threw it against the wall.
Yeah.
I was impatient like that. But that seems really ambitious for a new Transformers movie. How are you going to fucking make sense of that shit?
I'm surprised they went to that and not... Well, you know what they'll eventually get to. Or did they do this already?
What?
It was
the Beast Wars.
No. The planet. There's a planet which is a Transformer, a singular.
Really?
Yeah. There's.
God, I don't remember that.
It was like the biggest Transformer in the entire thing, and it's like he's a actual planet.
That's awesome.
I know he doesn't really trans. Yeah. Sorry. So
when you
figurine, like he's a figurine, and then he transforms into a planet. Okay, so it's not ridiculous. That he's a planet who transforms into something else.
Oh man, I love how that's actually the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, but yeah. It sounds great.
Yeah, they haven't introduced, I don't think they've introduced the female Transformers.
No,
because so they could go there. They did construction Transformers already,
I guess. Yeah,
yeah,
that movie's gonna make no sense.
No,
and Mark Wahlberg's gonna be in it. So
really? See what I mean? This is like his choice in films.
I know.
It can be really bad.
One second he does a good film, like he's really good in like I Heart Huckabees or...
Yeah. And then does Shooter.
Or some really boring shit. Like, or, you know, he's miscast in like Planet of the Apes and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, of course he was. Yeah.
Tim Burton, Mark Wahlberg, not what you'd think.
I don't think they'll ever work together ever again.
No. And rightly so.
Yeah.
Even Ewan McGregor and Tim Burton film was weird. That's Big Fish. I was just like, that's not working out for me.
But you liked Big Fish, didn't you?
I liked the movie, yeah. But
I didn't like that film. Really.
No, I liked it more the first time. I watched it again, I was like, well, that's a bit corny. But yeah. I don't know. It's not my favourite Tim Burton film by far. So yeah, Dinobots, something to look forward to. Some Dumb and Dumber 2 news.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. Kathleen Turner is going to be in it.
Okay.
Haven't seen her in movies in a while. A long time, really. The last thing I remember from her was fucking Friends, playing Chandler's dad.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last thing I remember. She was in stuff after, but I don't know. She kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. But yeah, she'll be back making a huge comeback in Dumb and Dumber 2. That's not going to be a good comeback, is it?
No, sorry.
Some news, which you'll be excited about,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, lower your expectations, is some details of Christopher Nolan's latest film has been released, Interstellar.
Okay.
Making hand movements to convey that.
Podcast, by the way, just to remind you.
Yeah, sorry about that. We didn't know anything about the plot at all until they revealed some stuff about it. And it sounds very, corn-themed.
Corn?
Listen to this. Set in the future, corn is the last crop to be cultivated on Earth, and the scientists embark on a journey through a wormhole into other dimensions in search of somewhere other crops can be grown.
Are you sure that's not a rumor?
That's not a rumor. That was released.
No.
Or maybe that's a joke.
Maybe.
Maybe Christopher Nolan's like, nah, I'm kidding. Corn? Come on.
That sounds stupid.
Yeah, sounds a bit corny. Oh!
It sounds like Sliders.
Really?
Yeah. Like, do you remember Sliders, the series?
You never watched it? No.
Sliders was very
I remember
silly.
When it came out.
Sliders was...
We gotta find some corn!
They went... I think it was dimensions or different planets through this slider thing. It's like Lost in Space as well. And, like, each world had something that defined it. You know, like, everyone's really tall or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
And it was always something really silly. It's like, yeah, it could be, like, one of those worlds is... The only crop they have is corn!
I don't think you can make a whole movie about corn, frankly. So, are they going to go into another dimension, as in another planet?
This sounds with corn? Which Star Trek is the whale Star Trek?
Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home.
Yeah, The Voyage Home. It's The Voyage Home, except they don't have the whales.
It's with corn.
Yeah.
I guess whales are kind of like corn.
No, because they have corn in this one. They want something else, so it's wheat. There you go. Whales or wheat.
I was really looking forward to this, but right now it's sounding a bit odd.
Yeah.
We'll see. He can make it work. He can still be like... Because if they go in another dimension, they could go to another Earth. where it's like...
Where the film actually begins.
Yeah. It's like Inception, but with corn.
Okay, whatever.
Let's just
move on.
Yes. J.J. Abrams, your all-time favorite film director.
God damn that man.
Yeah. And Jonah Nolan, they want to bring Westworld to the small screen on HBO. Do you remember Westworld? Where Yul Brynner's this fucking robot cowboy?
No, I don't remember.
Robot Cowboys, dude. That was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah. If there's an HBO show of it, I'm going to fucking watch it. If there's a shitty remake of it as a movie, I probably won't.
Okay. I don't know this franchise.
Robot Cowboys.
It doesn't interest me.
It's awesome. It's like a theme park in the future where you can go and pretend to be in the Wild West and all the people are robots.
Yeah.
But they act like humans until something goes wrong. And then it's kind of a precursor to Terminator where you'll bring...
It's Stepford Wives, that's what it is.
In a way. It was around that time where all these robot movies are going. But, and you've got this cowboy walking around like Terminator wanting to kill this guy.
See, I just thought of a crossover that probably someone...
Westworld Wives.
No, Stepford Wives and Blade Runner. That should be a crossover. That'd be great. Just Harrison Ford killing everyone. Because everyone is a fucking
just
replicant.
Taking women's heads off. Yeah.
Oh dear. Sorry.
I don't think so. That sounds terrible. Sounds like Blade Runner 2. Should probably be exactly like that.
Oh dear, yeah.
Some people were cast in 50 Shades of Grey, but who gives a flying fuck, really?
Yeah.
Didn't even take their name.
Making
out.
A film of this.
I know.
This awful book.
That was honestly the big news today, and I'm like, I'm not even taking your names down, people.
It's the phenomena of 50 Shades of Grey is kind of bizarre.
Oh, it's fucking weird, man.
You know, considering how prolific written, visual, photographic porn is on the internet, how is it that this is some kind of breakthrough?
What makes me sad is that people...
Novel.
People who don't really read classics are going to read this.
Of course.
And they're like, but, you know, they haven't read fucking...
There's some kind of legitimacy to it, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, to reading that. As
it's like if you read the modern bestseller, then
but there's a lot of these now, aren't there? Like you can read Game of Thrones, as a novel. You can The Hunger Games as another one. You know, is they? I don't know why, but they have some kind of legitimacy.
Yeah. I think it's because they're making adaptations of books as the books come out, kind of.
Yeah,
maybe Harry Potter started that.
Probably did.
Well, before it was like, we're gonna base this on the really old book.
Yeah, yeah.
On a classic. But now they're kind of... If they're a bestseller, they're a classic, you know.
Oh, there are certain films may have been made, but maybe not successfully. Yeah. Like, I'd love to see a Brave New World. Like, a film Brave New World, the book.
Yeah. I remember seeing a TV movie of that with Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, they did a TV film?
Yeah, ages ago, in the 90s.
See, like, I'd love to see that now.
That wasn't very good, by the way.
No, I know.
Leonard Nimoy in the dress...
Because Elysium is not exactly like that, but it has some of the elements. Yeah. You know,
they'll probably do it.
Yeah.
I mean, Gattaca is close.
Mm. Yeah.
Gattaca is pretty close to Brave New World, but
I love Gattaca. Yeah. I thought it's fantastic. It's
a good movie.
Fantastic film.
But I'm sure they'll make a Brave New World someday. And finally, a script is being written for a Spawn remake.
A Spawn remake.
Yeah. Because the original Spawn didn't do it well at all.
It didn't. It's a bit of a cult film now, though.
It is, yeah. I rewatched it eventually, and it's not too bad.
It's silly.
It's silly.
Very silly.
Like, the best part of it is a clown.
Yeah. But the monsters in it are a bit...
Yeah. They kind of, like...
Look wrong.
They're the Buffy and Angel kind of level of makeup. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't have a problem with someone making
and the CGI
a
is
film
fucked.
Like that.
CGI is fucked.
Yeah,
up.
I know, but
it's ambitious.
Yeah,
I don't mind them remaking.
They probably had better
honest.
CGI in Terminator 2.
Well, they definitely did.
Yeah,
I think they had a bigger budget as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So the effects of the first Spawn now is really kind of TV 90s TV quality, but you know. They can definitely remake it. That's why you have remakes, so you can do it properly.
Yeah, so you can take something that had potential, didn't realise it, and then make something new, rather than grabbing something like The Lone Ranger and fucking remaking that bullshit.
Oh, God. Don't mention that film ever again.
Yeah.
Some trailers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some trailers. There was a trailer for a new film called Neighbors,
no,
which I got confused about because there's already a film called Neighbors.
Yeah. And there's also a series from...
Well, yeah.
Australia.
Yeah.
Neighbors.
But that's Neighbors written O-U-R at the end.
Okay.
Neighbors is an American film, so Neighbors.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah. I didn't know the Aussies used the U.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But there's
well done, Aussies.
Well, they're gonna follow more the British written style than American.
I don't know, to be honest. They're heavily influenced by both cultures.
I guess, yeah. But probably more British. They still like the Queen? Or do they like her? Maybe not.
I think there is a section of Australian society that would probably like to remove the Queen from head of state.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them at all. I kind of wish we'd do it here.
Yeah, it's getting a bit silly now. Yes, Neighbours. I don't know how we got there. Oh, yeah, fucking Australia. There's already a film called Neighbours with...
Is Kylie Minogue in it?
No. The Blues Brothers. They reunited in this film in the 80s called Neighbours.
Yeah.
Or early 90s. Which was weird. It was about...
Yeah.
They switched kind of roles where the quiet one was the louder one. And then... And he's got these weird neighbours and they kind of play around with him.
By the way, Blues Brothers film... Amazing.
Yes.
Love that film.
It's not a new film, though.
No, I know.
Blues Brothers 2000, not so amazing.
No, I know. I know.
I need to rewatch that.
Just the original Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Stay to that.
This Neighbors, though, is not a remake. I thought it'd be a remake. It's not. It's actually a Seth Rogen film.
Yeah.
In which he moves into a neighborhood where Zac Efron is his neighbor and he's this frat guy. So really loud.
Yeah,
big
yeah,
parties and shit. Yeah. And Seth Rogen's got a kid. And the cast includes Dave Franco.
Cool.
Obviously, as one of the frat guys.
Yeah.
McLovin from Superbad.
Yeah.
And Lisa Kudrow, who's Phoebe in Friends.
Cool.
So it's a good cast.
What has Dave Franco been in?
Loads of things.
He was in Now You See Me, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was his biggest role.
Yeah, he probably was.
Yeah. I actually rewatched Superbad recently. He was in that for like a split second.
Oh, okay.
He used to pop up briefly in things.
Mm.
But now he...
Yeah.
Can't probably do four roles. I don't know, the trailer looks alright. It kind of gets funny near the end.
Yeah.
There's all these jokes with the baby where Seth Rogen's carrying the baby and there's like two people fucking on the lawn. And they're just like, oh, cute baby, while they're fucking. So stupid. And then there's, what else happens? Oh yeah, there's the baby starts eating something. It's like, oh, what's that, a balloon? And then it's not, it's a condom. So there's loads of baby jokes like that.
Yeah.
It might be a bit crass, but
yeah, sounds
might have some funny moments. There's a moment that's funny where he sits on the chair and the chair propels him to the... Someone plays it, puts an airbag on his chair.
Yeah.
And he's at work. He sits down on a chair and then he gets propelled onto the ceiling. It's kind of funny.
I mean, if it's going to be like 80s, 90s slapstick American humor, then fine. But if it's going to try and replicate something it can't possibly try to.
I think it's going to be a film no one will remember after seeing it, but it might be alright while you're watching it.
Yeah.
I probably won't drag you to see it.
Yeah.
The clip has been released for Terry Gilliam's latest film.
Cool.
Which looks good. It's called The Zero Theorem. I can't pronounce that. It stars Chudnovsky himself. What's his name? Fucking Christoph Waltz.
Yes.
And he looks like Uncle Fester from the Addams Family in that clip. He's like bald, he's all in black, he's got a briefcase, and it's kind of like Brazil type of futuristic vision.
Okay.
So it's like far in the future in England, I think, and there's like all these silly adverts going on. I'll show you the clip after, but it looks cool.
I hope with this he doesn't play too much with CGI.
He does a little bit, but it's looking good. It's looking like kind of restrained way. It still looks kind of realistic.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Terry Gilliam never really has the budget to go all out CGI properly. So when he does, it looks weird.
I just don't think CGI...
Should be his thing, really.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that as much as it doesn't seem like...
It's like when Tim Burton does CGI.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he can express himself as well in CGI as with either models or whatever.
Zombie model.
Yeah, stop motion or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah. No, he's better at that type of stuff, definitely. I don't know. That's always one thing with these new films where it's like, oh, that CGI bit was a bit weird looking. But he does kind of make it work in the imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Because it's meant to be this other world, so you kind of buy it.
Yeah, it just looks a bit too clean.
Sometimes it does.
That was the thing. The detail wasn't necessarily
there. It looks
there.
A bit green screened a lot of the time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But hopefully, I mean, so far, the clip I saw, he's making it work.
That's good.
We'll see. Looking forward to that. Unfortunately, he won't be involved in the 12 Monkeys TV series that's coming up.
Well,
that sucks, because he's probably the only one that can make sense of that fucking movie.
Is he another, is he another director who hasn't done sequels?
Well, he hasn't done 13 Monkeys. What else has
that
he
would
done?
Make no sense.
Do the Monty Python films count as sequels?
Well, no, because they're completely different
from
each other.
He didn't do all
of
them. Terry Jones did.
Yeah, Terry
Life
Jones.
Of Brian, I think.
Yeah.
I think Terry Gilliam did Holy Grail.
Yeah. Jones did Life of Brian.
I don't know.
I don't know who did the...
Meaning of Life? I think Terry Jones did that.
Okay.
But Terry Gilliam directed the short film that precedes it.
Oh, yeah. That's really good,
it
actually,
good,
with all the old guys and the ship,
the
which
building,
is a building,
yeah.
Building ship. I really like that. I
good
thought
times.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
so going back.
And finally, a trailer for a film. Fuck, I watched it this morning. I didn't know it existed. It's called Bad Milo.
Bad Milo?
Man, it's about a guy who's stressed out at work, and he shits out an E.T.-style monster from his ass, and he calls it Milo, and it's this kind of a puppet. It's like this E.T.-style puppet that's like, and kid starts killing people.
What?
Yeah. They find something in his colon.
Okay.
They're like, you're about to give birth. And he's like, what? In your ass. And then he shits out this monster.
Okay.
I think it's going to be released.
Where is this from? Hollywood? Is this Hollywood?
It's like, it looks really low budget.
Okay.
But it's got people in it. It's got Peter Stormare and Patrick Warburton.
Okay.
But I don't know why they're in this movie. I think they're just like alien shitting. Yeah, I'll be in that. But, yeah.
Okay.
So I just thought I'd mention it because it sounds fucking hilarious. The trailer's, you know, not that good. But yeah, just the idea that this exists is quite fun.
Okay.
All right. Now let's move on to something serious. Let's go to the big review for this week.
You just can't kidnap a guy and take his things. That's so illegal.
Well, sure we can.
Victor Kershaw is a criminal prick who deserves bad stuff to happen to him.
We go through with this. Nobody gets hurt, right?
Oh, man.
The big review, which is Pain and Gain. My name's Adam. I believe in fitness. And I believe in that Michael Bay can do decent things once in a while, when he cares. When the film is dumb enough, when the subject matter is so dumb, but intentionally so, Michael Bay is the right person to do it. Because this film was actually alright.
No, I disagree.
You didn't like it,
No,
much.
I didn't like it.
Fair
I
enough.
Like it.
I do
but
understand
no,
what you
no,
mean.
No, no, no. Okay, I think it's... It's not that... Alright, the film does achieve what it wants to achieve. I just don't like that kind of film.
Yeah. You didn't like the way it was made, like the story was told.
I thought the story was messy. I thought it was unnecessarily long.
It was really long. I would have cut a good at least 15 minutes from that movie.
Yeah, definitely. I thought it was...
But then a lot happens in this movie. Like,
a lot does happen, that's fine.
So if you
it's
cut
just...
something, you're... Well, maybe a few jokes that didn't need to be in there. What I would have cut is there's a few dick jokes with the fucking... That girl, that actress, which is called Rebel Wilson, who plays the nurse that helps
one
of the guys out with his erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
I don't need that whole part. That wasn't funny. I didn't find that bit funny at all.
No, like, I didn't.
I suffer from erectile dysfunction, and I'm telling you... No, I'm joking. no, I just didn't find it funny.
I thought that was going to be a weird revelation.
I know,
there.
Yeah. That's what's happening here. Yeah.
Anyway.
Full disclosure. My cock is sad! No, it just wasn't funny. Because everything she says is a joke. And she says it in a jokey way.
That's just, the thing. It's
she doesn't feel like a character that would ever exist.
The film kept going between self-aware and not self-aware.
But that's
a
the
lot
thing.
Of the time.
Yeah. It doesn't have tonal shifts, really. It's just because you've got like 12 narrators.
Yeah.
So you see the film told through different eyes.
Hang on, let me talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
So it's not that they're necessarily narrators. They're internal monologues.
Yeah.
There's quite a few internal monologues which they keep jumping between characters, especially. Everyone gets an internal monologue when they get introduced, first of all.
Yeah, yes.
And then there is a narrator. Right, in the film, but he's only in it for a very brief part of the film.
Although, eventually, I thought maybe it was Ed Harris.
Yeah.
But because it's happening at the beginning.
So far, before you get introduced to Ed Harris.
Yeah.
It's like, what's,
you're like,
why?
I don't know who this voice is.
Alright, another issue. Like The Lone Ranger, the whole film is a fucking flashback.
Yeah.
Can we stop, please, with this unnecessary bullshit of like 10 minutes at the beginning of the film where we have to have this thing.
Is it a flashback though?
Yeah, the whole thing is a flashback. No, because they start with Mark Wahlberg getting caught.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And then they go back. It says like 3 months earlier. I just like, don't need that.
There's no need for that.
Really, it really ruins any kind of build up. Because you're like, you know everything's going to go tits up.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that this could have... I know this is supposed to be based on a true story and all this, so we know everything's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and they make an actual decent joke, actually, where they go, this is still a true story when bullshit's happening.
Yeah, when Dwayne Johnson's, like, barbecuing hands outside.
Yeah.
Severed hands.
Yeah. All right, Dwayne Johnson was all right. I enjoyed some of his... The bits that I enjoyed were the bits that were subtle and not in your face.
Because
the bits where he's like, where Dwayne Johnson is appearing like he's caring, but is also capable of great violence.
Yeah.
That is a really good dynamic, but explored poorly because they keep going to the fact that, you know, oh, let's just have big bodybuilders doing violence. That's funny.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think it's, the way I see it is more like they try to tell this story on the point of view of these guys who are idiots, right?
Yeah.
And although you're meant to kind of find them funny, you're not really meant to, you know, want to be friends with these guys because they're scary. They get scary sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Even Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg's character is an arsehole. A real selfish arsehole.
Yeah. I mean, he's a really nice guy when he's teaching someone about something he knows.
Yeah, but he's distracted continuously with his own, you know, selfish ego ambition.
And when if you say something bad about fitness, he will fuck you up.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to kill that guy when he gets angry. Yeah. And also, what lost me early on, the film brought me back eventually, but early on I was like, why is this guy doing this? He's got a job he likes that he knows about. Mm. He's got a good, you know, he's got a good life. He's got a good car. The gym he works at has free membership for strippers.
Yeah, which he introduces in order to get membership of. Yeah.
So you've got all these, you know, half-naked ladies in bikinis walking around the gym. Yeah. What does he need money for? Like, what... Is he just pissed off that this guy has money?
I think the thing was that his clients were obviously much, much richer than he is. But not only that, they kind of tried to show, oh, he's doing really well at work, yet when he goes home, it's a shitty apartment that he lives in.
It's not too shitty, though.
We live in... Anyway.
Well, he could sell his car.
No, I know. It's just like, I think he's constantly bombarded by...
Bills. Yeah, they're showing you getting bills.
Not just that, but also like inadequacies within his own life. Because he's like, I haven't got this, I haven't got that, I haven't got that, I haven't got this. And to be honest, right, if you were to analyse it, I don't think you should do this, but he talks a bit about the American dream.
I
kind of understand, like, the American dream is a very fluid, dynamic idea whereby it's kind of anything where you covet stuff.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's a very...
He covets the things he sees.
I mean, the thing about the American dream is, it's like, you know, someone's American dream is not someone else's.
No.
So, like, his dream is really weird and unclear.
It is, and he doesn't quite understand.
I want what this guy has because I don't have it.
Yeah.
It does feel, to be honest, it does feel like the guy just needed a hug.
It does. You know?
Like, he needed some kind of fulfillment that he wasn't receiving from
anyone.
He
needed a hug and several anger management sessions.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, that's why the film brought me back. Because at first I was like, I can't relate to this guy. I don't really like
him. Yeah, but it's very much Ayn Rand. You know, it's very much sort of individualism to the max.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of, he gets this idea that if you want something, take it.
Yeah.
That's the American dream. The American dream is fuck everyone else. I want this.
Yeah, because he goes to see this motivational speaker played by Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Who's actually not as annoying as he was in Transformers 3.
Yes, yeah.
Which was one of the most horrible cameos I've ever seen in movies. But he does okay here. But yeah, he's kind of pushed with this kind of notion that be a doer, don't be a don'ter.
That was quite funny. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the motivational speech.
It was kind of awkward, though. But then it was all meant to be.
It fits because, like, the 90s saw a big rise in self-help
that's
type
true, yeah.
things.
It
and
is
then,
set in, like, 1995?
Five, I think.
It does feel very 90s.
Yeah, exactly. And I admit they kind of achieve certain the kind of 90s feel to it. And that's fine. It's just... There are certain... It's a messy film. I know I've said that already. But it's also technically quite messy.
Yeah.
You know, and Michael Bay's known for that. I mean, he's known for not being technically...
I mean, even in the Transformers movies, I've paused shots where I was like, you can see the camera, dude.
Yeah.
Like, or you can see the... Like, at one point, the best part, I mean, it's Transformers 2, where he's like filming Shia LaBeouf. And he's trying to do this cool shot where he's walking around Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude... You're fucking up the lighting because I can see the camera when you're going
around. Yeah.
He obviously just came up with that on the spot. Like,
I know.
Oh,
what if
we do the shot where I spin around him? It's just like, you can't do that.
I think it's. I don't know if this is true or not, but maybe he puts his crew under a lot of pressure to do something quickly when something like that is actually very complicated to do.
Yeah.
So.
But then it kind of gives the film a kind of high octane, like fast pace.
Which
for these guys that like inject themselves with fucking
but it's not,
steroids.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's not like Crank is like that.
I guess,
Crank is low budget, but it doesn't have the technical errors that this film does.
Yeah.
You know, because where it's like loads of shots are out of focus.
That's true.
It's like this is a big budget film.
Even that shot that's in the trailer where he's just talking to this kid and he's like, I see your mother around the neighborhood. It's like, dude, that's our focus.
Yeah.
I could tell even from the trailer.
Yeah.
I
know. I think what it is
I mean,
he likes this anarchic style.
Yeah.
I get that.
He's still Michael Bay. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to kind of accept that going in.
Well, that... Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't really enjoy that.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy his style at all.
No. Okay.
Even when when, like this film, he's achieving what he sets out to do, which is fine. I don't enjoy that. Okay. So.
Fair enough. I mean, for me, the film mostly worked. Like, there's some jokes I didn't find very funny. There's technical standpoint, it's a bit rushed at times, a bit long.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the film that it needed to be, really.
I
don't see really anyone else making it all that much better. Except maybe the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
But then it would
be really dark.
I know, it'd be, like, I don't know. Like, too good for this subject
matter. It'd be too serious.
Yeah.
The whole thing's not meant to be serious.
No, and I mean, it does, you know, it's the story told from point of view of guys that are just kind of lost and just not very smart at all. So
yeah, really dumb.
Yeah, really. So it's a dumb movie. You feel dumber after watching it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of...
You do.
Michael
really
Bay,
do.
For once, is self-aware.
Like, yeah, I give
he
you knows that.
Whereas when he's making Pearl Harbor, he has
no
fucking idea how wrong
what
he's doing is.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's kind of a step up. And the Transformers movies as well. He thinks people like this because it's good.
Mm.
No, they like it because there's action.
Mm.
But Transformers fans, you know, that's not what they want from a Transformers
movie. No, I don't like any of the Transformers films. I dislike them all.
Yeah. So I think that movie was... It's a decent Michael Bay film, if that has any, you know, weight at all.
It's going back to a bit of the, like, Bad Boys era.
I guess, a little bit. And I'd watch this over Bad Boys.
Amazingly, there's no CGI in this film.
And if there is, I didn't notice it. Yeah. I don't think there is. I mean, it made it for relatively cheap, which is 20 million.
Okay.
Which is, everyone took a pay cut.
Give me
for that.
20 million.
he did well. I mean, you know, he got everyone to take a pay cut and made this movie. It's probably going to make shit tons more. I think I realize we're a bit late with that because Pain and Gain in America came out
in the UK though it took ages to get to us. A bit like a Django as well. Django took ages
and
Wreck It
Ralph
to
took a fucking year to get here. But yeah, I mean, would you recommend Pain and Gain?
No,
bearing in mind the tagline for that movie was their American dream is bigger than yours. A dick joke. Yes.
Yeah. No, I can't recommend it. All
right.
I found it dragged. It really dragged.
Fair enough. I don't really want to recommend a Michael Bay movie.
No, exactly.
But as a dark comedy, because it kind of becomes a dark comedy eventually, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. I mean, I had some fun with it, but initially I wasn't, you know, the first half hour kind of lost me. But over time, as it became darker, I kind of enjoyed it a bit more. So it's I could see people enjoying it. So I'd say maybe give it a go. You know, especially even if you don't like Michael Bay, you'll find some stuff to enjoy here.
Yeah.
But so that's good cast as well. Mark Wahlberg's good.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson.
It's much of a muchness.
Muchness.
Sorry, it's a British saying meaning meh.
Yeah. Fair enough. Now let's move on to the big recall.
Yeah.
So the big recall is where one of us recommends a retro film to watch, and then the other one recommends a retro film to avoid. Now, what did we do last week? I recommended Excalibur.
And I...
Power of the Gods. And you?
I didn't recommend... Plague.
Oh, Plague. God, that sounded shitty. Yeah, you still have it there. Should I start?
Yeah, you should start. I started last time.
Well, seeing as we're talking about Michael Bay...
Oh.
I thought, because I'm going to say nice things about his film, I should probably go back to basics and talk about 1998, Armageddon.
Oh, no. Everyone knows this, though. Everyone knows it's a terrible film. Surely.
Some people like it. Some people like it as a guilty pleasure, and I get it. I don't enjoy it as that.
No, I don't either.
Personally, I find it really, really fucking annoying.
Yeah. Well, no, go back and watch it now. I'm sure most people would agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think people remember that they enjoyed it as a guilty pleasure.
Yeah,
but if they watch it again...
It's 98.
98.
Wow.
Now, there's some things, several reasons why it's bad. One of them is the tagline, it's closer than you think. What the fuck does that mean?
The asteroid is...
What do you mean it's closer? No one knows it's there.
Like, the end of the world is closer than you think. Oh. I think that's what he's trying to get at.
That still doesn't make sense.
I know, but...
It's written by J.J. Abrams. I'm not even fucking kidding.
God damn. He just gives me more reasons
I knew,
to hate him.
I knew this would drive you nuts.
Every single time you tell me something about him, I'm just like, I hate you even more.
I still blame him for that, to be honest. Like, that's one blemish on his career that I'm just like, you fucked up. But I guess he had to make money somehow. So...
Is it Liv Tyler is in this film?
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, also, it's fucking long. It's 151 minutes long.
Wow.
That's fucking long.
Dude. Yeah.
That's so long. It feels long as well.
Oh yeah, it feels it.
And there's a director's cut, apparently, that's 2 minutes longer. Michael Bay's an idiot. That's not a director's cut.
Yeah, that's great.
I had to delete a scene. That's 2 minutes.
Great.
Here it is.
Could you imagine if the Lord of the Rings extended editions were like just like a few minutes longer?
Yeah, I know. No, as they stand, they're 10 hours longer. But yeah, no, it's just insufferable. Like, I think the big problem with this movie is the humor. It's so... I mean, it's not funny
at all. Wait. Who's in this again? Because it's been a while. I know Bruce is in it. Of course, Bruce Willis.
It wastes the talents of Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
William Fichtner.
Yeah.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, God, yeah.
Peter Stormare, who was actually in Pain and Gain. He was the doctor.
Yeah.
And it turns Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck...
Of course, Affleck.
Owen Wilson and Liv Tyler into the... Owen Wilson's in it, yeah. He's the comic relief.
Wow.
For the comic relief.
Yeah, of the film.
And it turns all these people into the most annoying people you'll ever see.
You can sum up the film pretty easily, can't you?
Yeah, nothing happens.
Asteroid on the way.
There's like, boom, boom, boom. Oh, we got to do something. Let's send people who are not qualified.
Yeah, into space. And
then boom, boom, boom.
Blow up the asteroid, or is it?
Yeah, they were meant to drill something in the asteroid, a bomb, and then explode it, something like that.
Oh, yeah, and I remember this. And then actually a couple of scientists came out and said, if you actually do that, we're all fucked.
Because because the chunks
would kill us all. Yeah. Because to do that, you'd have to be really far away. In fact, what you need to do is move it away.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they should have done.
As irritating as the first half hour of this movie is, the last half hour makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
It's like, the only fun part is Steve Buscemi goes insane.
Yeah.
But that's literally 1 minute of the movie.
They made music for this film as well.
They ruined Aerosmith for me.
Yeah. Aerosmith.
What?
That's how you said, you said Aero.
Aero. There's an E. Aerosmith.
It's Aerosmith.
Hey, I listened to them when I was in France, and I used to call them Aerosmith. Okay, you think Aerosmith is bad? I called them that for years.
Oh, the French.
Aerosmith.
Oh, they're funny.
But yeah, it ruined
Aerosmith. What do you call Metallica in France?
They're called Metallica.
Metallica. Iron Maiden,
Guns N' Roses. I don't know. I didn't listen to Iron Maiden.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think they were that good.
All right. Fair enough.
But yeah, Aerosmith strangely started sucking from then on.
Yeah.
This movie is just over the top. It's ridiculous, and I get why people like that. There's some good action in it, I guess, but it's so fucking long, and it's so few and far between.
Yeah.
All these slow-mo shots of people walking, like, man.
He was so into slow-mo.
Yeah. This is really the most bloated film he's done. Is it more bloated than Transformers? Maybe. Because this spends more time in... about half the time in space.
Yeah, less happens, I guess. Less.
It feels longer because not that much happens, frankly.
No, not a lot happened.
And, It's just the humor that kills it for me. It's not funny at all. It's really annoying.
The big sacrifice at the end.
Oh, please.
It drags so dumb. And it's so bad.
So dumb.
But the weird thing is, we all remember it.
I can actually picture J.J. Abrams' soul leaving his body as he writes that scene.
I'd like to know what J.J.'s opinion on it is.
Yeah, I know. I need to check that out. But he's probably like, well, I needed money. Honestly, that's the only reason.
Yeah, right.
Because before that, what did he did TV shows, but he only did like Felicity, which was like a teen.
He's not JJ's not that old, is he? I mean,
no.
All right. Then.
But yeah, no, I don't like that movie at all. I mean, if you ask me for a good Michael Bay movie apart from Pain and Gain, I don't mind the island.
There aren't any.
I don't mind.
No, there aren't any. I've been through before. There are no good.
They're not good.
Michael Bay films.
They're not good, but.
Passable.
Yeah, passable. I would say The Rock with Nicolas Cage, because it's Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
The Island's alright.
A lot of people do love Bad Boys.
I don't.
A lot of people do love them. I don't.
I can't stand it. I don't like Martin Lawrence at all.
No.
He's really annoying.
No.
Will Smith's fine.
Yeah. Well, he's fine in anything.
Yeah.
He feels the part. He
usually pulls it off, except after Earth, where he put me to sleep a little
bit. I know! Very bizarre.
He kind of dropped the ball on that one.
I know, it's just very, very bizarre, because he tries to play a guy with no emotion.
Yeah, but it feels forced.
It's totally forced, yeah.
Because
yeah.
he's...
He's usually a very emotional character.
He's a charismatic guy.
Yeah.
And he takes away all the charisma for that film.
Mm.
I should probably pronounce it charisma.
Yeah, I know.
Charisma, but never mind.
Whatever.
All right, so...
He's only just learning English. Give him a break.
Yeah, it's only been fucking 17 years. So what film do you recommend? Because we need some good stuff now. Oh, man.
So...
Are you sure you want to pick that?
I love this film. Okay, all right, we're talking about guilty pleasures here.
Yeah, okay.
We've Pain and Gain... Kind of a guilty pleasure.
Big sci-fi action film.
Here's a big sci-fi action film to get your teeth into and really enjoy, because it's really good action. It's a stupid concept, but you buy into it.
It's pretty stupid.
All right, it's 1998.
From the poor man's Michael Bay, Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yeah, oh, come on. He's a decent director for some things.
Exactly. That's-
This
for a couple of passable things like Michael Bay,
Kurt Russell in Soldier.
He's got soul, but he's
The basic premise is that Kurt Russell is a child soldier. He was brought up a very young age.
Kurt Russell plays a 5-year-old child in this movie.
Yeah, at some points, yeah. So they do the whole montage at the beginning. It's a great montage, by the way, where it goes from when he's a kid to when he's an adult.
Yeah.
And he becomes like a really great soldier, but then gets replaced.
Is it like Conan, where he pushes the wheel for years?
Kind of. It's kind of on par with that kind of montage. It's a really good montage.
More 90s than 80s.
But it's a really good example of good montage, to be honest. Yeah. I really like it. It basically, because it's a montage that contains all the elements you need to get the film moving as quickly as possible, so that you don't spend huge amounts of time on dialogue or anything else, or even narration in that sense. And you get to the point where you know the premise really, really quickly, which is Kurt Russell gets replaced by genetically modified soldiers.
Super soldiers.
So in this kind of dystopian future that they live in, Kurt Russell and his team get discarded. And Kurt Russell is the only one to survive.
A shame.
On Trash Planet.
Trash Planet.
Which, again, great concept. But people live on Trash Planet.
It's like Wally.
Except
it's not Earth.
And then the film kind of turns into a kind of Seventh Samurai type thing, whereby Kurt Russell now has to protect.
Yeah, he helps these people who live there.
Protect this town. That's the premise of the film.
Trash Town.
That's the premise of the whole film, and that is all in the trailer as well.
Yeah.
That is saying, to be honest, that is saying a lot, I know, but you'll still enjoy this film because it's got great action-y elements. It's got fight scenes. It's got good build-up. It's got good traps. It's got good, I don't know. It's got a good essence whereby Kurt Russell is the product of all this years of training, and he really pulls it off, because he shows this essence of being,
he's kind of a robot, but he's got
robotic essence. Anyway, so I think it's a really good film. I think it's got good vision in it. It's got good style to the sci-fi elements that it has. It doesn't fall apart in terms, because there's not much CGI in this.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fall apart.
Film looks good.
Yeah, it looks fine. I mean, because most of it isn't that. And
also, it's an 18, so it's like...
Yeah. Yeah, there's some brutal moments.
For adults.
But, it is a callback film to the Arnie films before. It's a callback to some of those action films of the 80s, and that's fine, because it does a good job of it.
And Kurt Russell's slightly better actor than fucking
Arnie. Yeah, he does a really good job as well. Yeah. He's a bit older in this, of course.
He is, yeah.
So
when was this film made?
Well, this is 98.
We both picked films from 98.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a bit older, but it works for him in this sense, because he's meant to be older in the film as well.
Because they're not really robots, they're just genetically engineered, but they do get old as well.
I don't think there's anything I can massively criticise this film on, other than it's over the top.
It's a bit
silly. Of course, it's a bit silly, but it's meant to be. I mean,
the one thing that I remember kind of bothering me were the people that live there. They seem like, when in Star Trek, like The Next Generation, when they go to a planet and it's people wearing these kind of...
it's like, very obvious.
Yeah, they're wearing these like earthy tones.
Yeah.
And they're all like kind of these peaceful people. But we don't know how to fight. It's kind of cliched in that sense.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And it makes it look a bit low budget as well, which is not good.
Yeah. Apart from Kurt Russell, unfortunately, no one else in this film is...
really. Well, Jason Scott Lee, but he plays a super soldier.
Yeah, he doesn't say anything or do much, if anything. He just has, you know, he's just there to be the, you know...
the physical superior.
Yeah, yeah. but, like Gary Busey's in this.
Oh, so, Gary Busey, yeah.
So...
that's always entertaining.
He has his bit, you know, being the weird guy.
He's always entertaining. Yeah.
But yeah, go see it. Soldier.
Fun movie, I remember it.
Do not confuse this film with Universal Soldier, which is a pile of shit.
Or the Bollywood film, Soldier.
Yeah, oh, that's weird.
Which we found out on IMDb exists.
Yeah, there's a Bollywood film called Soldier that came out the exact same year as this film. And yeah, that's kind of bizarre. Anyway.
But yeah.
That's that.
Cool. So, Armageddon is a no.
Soldier is a yes.
Soldier's a yeah. No, I'm kidding. It's a yes. It's a
yeah.
It's one of the better Paul W.S. Anderson.
It's a yes as a guilty pleasure.
There you go. Oh my god, this is pretty much the end of the show. There's just one more thing to do. It's to play the big game.
Why? Why do you put me through this?
It's your favorite part, no?
Yeah, it is. It's not like the repetition is grinding.
I'm literally doing it now just to piss you off.
Yeah, it's great.
No one's even guessing the title.
No, you know why?
I just sing it.
Yeah. Do you know why?
But you know what we're playing, what the big game is this week.
What?
I shat myself.
Yeah, well, no. Why didn't you just call the section I Shat Myself rather than the big game?
Because once we did I Shat My Line. Don't you remember?
Oh, okay. Well,
where I read a line from a movie.
Yeah.
10th episode 10, people. I Shat My Line. No one guessed it.
Good.
And yeah, so let's try some I should explain what it is. Where I sing as William Shatner, a really bad impression of William Shatner, and you have to guess what I'm singing. And basically, if you guess it, you can send us an email, bigrewindpodcast@gmail.com, or find me at The Retro Critic on Twitter and talk to me.
And it's my job to eventually retire this section.
Yeah, good luck with that. Last week's I Shat Myself was... do you remember what it was?
I try not to.
Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Of course it was.
It's Close Midnight. That was good. You enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, let's go for the new I Shat Myself.
Take it away.
And now, the end is near. And so I face the final girl. My friend, I'll say clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I travel each and every island. There you go.
Thanks. Now,
I'll stop there because after that it kind of reveals the title of the song.
Email us whether or not you want Adam to continue this.
No! Actually, that's fair enough. If you want us to change the big game to something that doesn't annoy Jamie, I highly don't recommend that.
Yeah, but, great.
Because it's funny. Because then we'll stop filming the podcast again, and then you can see his face of just pure...
oh, hurt. Yeah. All right. We might stop filming again because we're getting a new camera at some point soon. So.
Shazam.
Hopefully.
You heard it in there. You heard it here first.
Yeah. But it all depends on a few different factors, so we'll see.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you know what that is, or if you want Jamie to stop complaining, you can email us, bigrewindpodcast@gmail.com. Shut up. This is it. This is the end of the podcast. Now let's just go to the big shout-outs.
Oh god, I never have one of these. I'm sorry, people.
You suck.
I know, it's just... there are things I could shout out in relation to other subjects, but I don't want to do that on a film review podcast.
Shout out Simon Consumer. It's got a new Let's
right,
Play.
All right.
Come on, that's something.
This is... It's different. I mean, I have a Let's Play channel called Simon Consumer.
On the YouTubes?
On YouTube, yeah. The channel is called Silent Consumer. So, and, you know, we put up a couple of Let's Plays where it's me and my brother doing Let's Plays. It's nothing too great. We're just sort of starting. We're just kind of starting with it and doing a little bit of it and trying to find our footing with it. See if it's something viable, see if it's something people like. People like it. Then, of course, we'll continue doing it because we like playing video games.
And the new Let's Plays for a game called Army of Two.
Army of Two, which ties in really well with our kind of guilty pleasures in terms of... It's a really bad game.
You can shoot people back to back.
Yeah, to be honest.
Michael Bay style.
Yeah, to be honest, it's a Michael Bay film as a game.
Yeah.
So...
Nice.
At least that's the video we just put up recently. We're going to be doing more of that kind of stuff at some point. Mainly because I've just gone and bought all the kit that you need to capture gameplay and stuff like that.
Good stuff.
And maybe I'll talk about gaming a bit more another time.
Cool. I'll shout out someone called the_Valerie on Twitter. Because she's the one who gave me the news about Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay.
Maybe
cool.
Being on J.J. Abrams. So
no, I like that. I
thought I would shout out someone that contributed.
I like it when people share news in a different way, other than just the major, major releases.
Yeah, I hadn't heard.
Like blogs. I think blogs are really good for that kind of stuff.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's probably premature, but we should probably say that we're planning some kind of anime themed month.
Yeah.
On the blog.
Yeah. I'm big into anime, manga, most things Japanese.
So it'll be we'll collaborate on a lot of content for that. But it's not going to be anytime super soon. It'll probably be more like November or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we'll keep you up to date with that.
We'll talk a bit about horror in October.
Yeah. But I thought I should announce it, seeing as all the Miyazaki news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we'll celebrate all his movies then.
Cool.
So yeah, thanks for listening. I should probably shout out myself at the Retro Critic on Twitter and retrocriticblog.blogspot.com.
Blogspot.
And on YouTube, you can find me as well. You just type the Retro Critic or something stupid, and I'll probably come up.
Cool.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with I don't know what's coming out. Oh,
Riddick. Yeah.
Riddick. It's coming out.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I liked Pitch Black and
Chronicles. Yeah,
was it Pitch Black? Pitch Dark?
Pitch Black.
Pitch Black.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed those films. They were sort of good action-y sci-fis. Yeah.
Yeah. Should be good.
Yeah. All right.
See you next week, bitches.
Bye.
I'm sorry, I said bitches.